Okay, so we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 31, and I'm going to read from verse 17 to 55. It's quite a long passage, but let's just read it all from verse 17. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.' And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, 'Perhaps you will take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it with you.' For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and Leah's tent and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but he did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that there may be judged between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was born by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your 2 daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters, or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sahudatha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore its name was called Galeed, also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Well, let's just pray together. Let's just ask the Lord's help, shall we, as we consider this passage together this night. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we are always mindful. Lord, we're always aware of the privilege that we have to be able to open these scriptures and read these things that are written for our benefit, for our edification, for our guidance, for our instruction. And we do ask for the help of your Holy Spirit this night, that he will come and, Lord, move upon this written word and upon our hearts and minds. And Lord, we don't just want to hear about or learn about things that Jacob did long ago, but Lord, we need to understand how these things apply to our lives today as men and women of faith, Lord, who want to follow you closely, who want to be guided by you, who want to live our lives by faith. We pray that, Lord, you will come by your Holy Spirit and speak to us this night and show us how these things apply to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, obviously, we're not going to be looking at this whole passage this evening. I'm not that quick, me, with things like that. It takes me a bit longer. But there's a couple of things that I just felt the Lord spoke to me about, really, in this passage. And I think, really, this is, again, intended to be very practical. As I was praying there, you know, it's, in a sense, it's good to know what God's word says. It says, and it's good to know all these stories from the Bible. By stories, you know what I mean by that, histories, these facts, these events that occurred. But of course, what we need to understand is how these things apply to us today. And if we don't get that, in a sense, we miss the point. The way that God deals with Jacob and Jacob's wives and sons and all these other people that we read about, it really have pastoral implications on our life. So there's a couple of things particularly that I want us to think about here this evening. So after 20 years living in Paddan Aram and working for Laban, the Lord spoke to Jacob and said, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. It says there in verse 3, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you, the Lord said to Jacob. And it appears that for some time Jacob had wanted to return to the land of Canaan. Of course, 6 years before this, he'd already said to Laban he wanted to go back, and Laban persuaded him to stay. So he's worked for Laban for a further 6 years. But in his heart, he's wanted to return to the land of his fathers, to the land of Canaan. And then recently, and we saw this in our Bible study last week, first few verses, he'd noticed that the attitude of Laban and Laban's sons had changed towards him. As it says there in verse 2, the countenance of Laban was no longer favourable as before. And in verse 1, Laban's sons were accusing him, really, of robbing their father. Which wasn't true, of course. But that's how they saw it. You know, and it struck me when I read that there's something here. See, Jacob did not steal a thing from Laban. What he acquired of Laban's flocks, he acquired righteously, and according to the deal that those two men struck. But the way Laban's son saw it was that Jacob had robbed their father. And the fact is that people's perceptions of things are not always according to truth, are they? And so his sons are saying, that Jacob has robbed the father. And so he notices that the attitude of these people has changed towards him. Still, however much Jacob wanted to return to Canaan, and however difficult things had become for him in the land of Paddan Aram and in the household of Laban, a move as great as this one required something more for a man of faith. Jacob needed to hear from God. He needed the word of God. He needed to hear from the Lord. He needed God's word. He needed God's direction. And it's the same with us, friends. I mean, you can decide whatever it is you want for your tea, and you don't really have to pray about that, do you? I'm not being unspiritual, but you know, there are many things in life of let's say lesser consequence that we just use our own discretion with. But there are some things in life, and I'm really talking about big issues that we face, we need the word of God on it. And Jacob here is about to make a big move. He's going to move back from the land of Paddan Aram to his own country. And he's not going on his own. He's taking his wives, he's taking his children, he's taking his flocks. And so even though he wanted to go, he needed the word of the Lord first. Well, now the Lord has finally spoken to him and said, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So now Jacob knows that the time is right in God. This is the right time. This is God's time. This is the time for him to return. And so he called his wives, Rachel and Leah, and he explained the situation to them, verses 4 to 12. We looked at that last week. And then he shared with them what the Lord had told him to do, verse 13. God had said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So he shares with his wives the things that the Lord has spoken to him. And then Rachel and Leah answered him and said, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. So Jacob knows that his wives are with him, the hearts are with him, and they are fully submitted to his leadership. So the time has come, and Jacob, it then says in verse 17, arose and he set his sons and his wives and his on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions. And then further down in verse 20, it says, and Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian. He puts his wives and his sons on camels, he gathers his flocks together, and he stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian. Now, there was already 3 days' journey between Jacob and Laban, so by the time Laban found out that Jacob and his family had left, 3 days later, when somebody's come back and told him, they were already well away. They'd already made progress in the journey. And it took some time for Laban to catch up with them, but catch up with them he did. And so verse 25 onwards is all about what happened when Laban finally caught up with him. Okay, but what I want to draw your attention to, first of all, this evening, is the way Jacob fled here from Laban, the way he left. See, it seems to me, instead of facing Laban honestly and trusting the Lord to keep his promises to Jacob and to work out everything for him, to work things out God's way, Jacob fled with his family and his flocks, one commentator said, like a criminal escaping justice, is how he left. And you see, you have to ask the question, why? Why did Jacob do that? When the Lord had promised to be with him. Again, verse 3, return to the land of your fathers, the Lord said, and to your family, and I will be with you. This is the Lord, who, according to Jacob's own words, there in verse 7, according to his own testimony, God had not allowed Laban to hurt him all those years. Jacob knew that. So why now did Jacob do a runner instead of facing Laban up and telling him what he was going to do? Well, according to Jacob's own words, the reason was fear. It's there in verse 31. Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid." So it's fear. And you see, what we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is fear is the opposite of faith. And again, I think I said the other week, you know, who is